This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Doing a new thing here, not necessarily a buy or sell, but as this, I mean, we're in the crazy time of year for sports, and we cover a lot. Obviously, all the football teams we go over. Pretty soon, we're going to have our basketball teams in the mix, all the colleges plus the Nuggets, the Colorado Avalanche. So we're going to do like a every week or every day kind of stock, depending on games and stories and injuries, things like that, the stock watch. And that could change. One team could have a great look on Monday after a nice win over the weekend and then learn that they got a player that's out for the season, heaven forbid, those kind of things. Right now, we're still kind of in the football mode, but we're going to throw in the Avs and the Nuggets today. Stock watch, Michael.
Buy.
Up or down? No. Did you not hear anything I just said? I don't know what to do with you. I don't know what to do with you. We talked about it this morning. You were all for it, and then you have to come in and try to be funny. Have you ever, I'm just asking, when you've made a joke, has anyone ever laughed?
Oh, tons of people.
Really? Besides like a baby.
A bunch of people.
Like babies.
Lots of adults. Serious adults.
Really? I don't know. All right, stock watch. The UNC Bears. They lose to Idaho State over the weekend. It's a close game. They kept battling back. Felt like it was going to be a blowout for a moment. It was 23-7 at the half, but the Bears ended up losing by 8. Up or down?
Considering their past, it is up.
I think it's up.
A lot of people outside the area don't know anything about the UNC Bears, and they're thinking, oh, bunch of luck. This team, they won their two. They kept it close.
They've been close in every game. Every game they've been in has come down to the last few minutes in the fourth quarter, or the game, because they've been to two overtimes already. They've been in every game. I don't know if Ed Lamb will take that as like a moral victory. Doesn't sound like it, based on our chats in Football 52, but they have been competitive. And last year, I thought they were competitive at this time last year, but the scores ended up not looking that way because the bottom would just fall out and they'd end up losing by like 20. That's not the case this year. They're putting themselves in a position to win every single game this year, and that's huge.
You can hear more about the UNC Bears loss to Idaho State on Football 52.
Thank you, Mike.
1310kfk.com.
Thank you very much. Or Apple Podcasts, Spotify. The Wyoming Cowboys didn't play last week, but they got healthy. It was a bye week, and Cody's telling us that, you know, John Michael Gillenborg's a go, some concerns on that offensive line. UNLV, Mike, I don't think UNLV's as good as the 4-0 record would suggest. I'm going to say stock is up. You know, you got a weekend of rest, and you really needed it. I'm going to say the Wyoming Cowboys stock is up, and if they can beat UNLV this week, they could go on a stretch in the Mountain West Conference. They could win. I think they could rattle off like 3 or 4 wins in a row.
I believe their stock has remained unchanged.
As a cop out answer, is up or down?
Unchanged.
I'm going to say up because I follow the rules of the whole show.
And I make my own rules.
The Air Force Falcons. I mean, again, offensively, they're exciting.
That triple option is exciting, but they gave up 44 to Hawaii, 49 to Boise State, 49 to Utah State. This defense can't stop anybody, Michael. But their offense is really electric. They have Navy this weekend, so a break from Mount West play. But I think you still... Hawaii, I did say I thought, you know, Hawaii was going to be a better team this year. But I figured Air Force would beat them. They battled against Boise State. I mean, that was a good football game. Stock up or down on the Air Force Falcons?
Well, if you're looking to buy Air Force stock, don't buy it now because it's going to continue to go down.
Really? You're still doing the buy thing. Is the stock up or down?
The stock is going down.
Stock is down. How about Colorado State?
I would rather buy Air Force stock than Colorado State.
Stock is plummeting right now. I mean, it is threat level midnight going on right now.
I mean, they're affecting the rest of the market. That's how bad they are.
They're not just losing games. They're making quarterback changes. They're benching the guy that they thought was going to be the guy. And now suddenly Jackson Brissot's the guy. Matt Mummy sounds like he's going to call plays or something, or thinks about calling them. I don't know. Stock is really down on CSU right now.
Yeah, no one's buying. I've been trying to sell my stock, and no one's buying.
You're still doing the buy or sell thing. We're kind of getting away from. I don't know if I'm explaining this appropriately.
I like buy or sell.
Colorado Buffaloes. Stock up or down?
Down.
I mean, it's a close game against BYU.
Okay. I forgot about the score. I did predict BYU to beat them pretty
big. I'm
going to
say stock is down based on the second half of that game and the fact that they still can't figure out how to manage tight games and in-game situations. I mean, they were up 14-0 in this game, and then it was not good the rest of the way.
Are we talking about the team or are we talking about the coach? Because the team maybe not so bad, but Prime, ooh. I mean, another bad decision.
Well, he should have called a timeout instead of hurrying to the line and then Caden Salter throws an interception. I would have called a timeout there. Calm the situation, get him settled in, and because you only needed a field goal. I mean, you had plenty of work to do still, but I would have called a timeout. I'm going to say stock is down on CU. They got TCU this weekend, Michael. I mean... TCU, this is a different... You know, TCU was a big favorite when Coach Prime stormed onto the scene in the FBS world. This is a different story, though. The Buffs are 13.5-point underdogs in this game. So, I'm saying stock is down. Stock up or down for the Broncos, Mike? Easiest answer you'll ever have on the show, I'm sure.
It's way up. It is so far up.
They did what they were supposed to do. So I'm not going to do a cop-out like you and say they've stayed the same. But I did say the stock was somewhat down, didn't I, last week? After the loss to the Chargers?
You did.
I'm going to say it's still down.
Why is it still down?
Because you did exactly what you're supposed to do. This game, the only way you could only go down, you had to win. Like when I said it was a must-win game, I meant it. That Cincinnati's a bad team. They're going to lose a lot of football games until Joe Burrow gets back.
So, if you are a company and you make exactly the product that you're supposed to make and you fulfill all your products, all your orders, the stock should go down?
You did your job.
Are you
are you employee of the month for showing up to work on time? No. Are you employee of the month because you did the work that you were supposed to do? No. You're employee of the month because you do an exceptional job. They were supposed to beat Cincinnati badly.
Yeah, they were supposed to beat Cincinnati. They're doing their job. Stock up.
Stock is down. Still down.
If you go above and beyond,
they didn't
then
go
stock
above
way
and beyond.
Up.
I don't think they went above and beyond. They took care of a crappy team, maybe
but
the worst team in the NFL.
Still up.
I'd say stock is down.
I'm not taking any stock and bond advice.
Well, I'm not taking any from you because you would just say the Broncos are up every week no matter what they do. They were up after they lost to the Chargers. They were up after they lost to the Colts. You're constantly saying that. You're in that world.
You don't have to take football advice from me.
I don't. Smitty says, whenever Dion has a question about when to take a timeout, he should look over his shoulder and ask a celebrity or a rapper. It's strange. Like, some of the coaching things should be cleaned up by now. Like, those things should be cleaned up now. And we're still doing
them. There is coaching for dummies. I just looked it up. There's coaching football for dummies. Maybe he should read that.
Just a lot of these head scratchers, man, going on. 16 minutes after the hour, Sean Keeler going to join me quickly. Stock up or down on the Nuggets and Avalanche preseason, and I think I'm going to answer this. Both are up. Both, I think, are projected to be right in the thick of things this year.
Yeah, Avalanche are undefeated. Again, preseason, but they're undefeated. Nuggets improved their roster.
Yep, I think it's all good. Sean Keeler going to join me next. I'm sure we're going to talk a lot about what's going on with CSU, what's going on with the Rockies, all that more coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
College football, the NFL, and the Broncos on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
After 3 months of requesting this for this specific interview, we got it. We got it. Sean Keeler, Denver Post, Keeling Me Softly. We got it, man. I don't put any faith in it happening next week, but we got it. We got it this week.
Any day of Lauren Hill is a good day.
It's a How great
are you,
day,
my brother.
I'm good, man. I don't know where you want to start, Sean, because
where do we go? I'm on a full disclosure, loyal audience. I'm on a time crunch.
Yeah, you are.
Today, so
yeah.
We can't dicker as we normally would. Do you want to start Rockies?
Yeah, I think we should start Rockies. Okay, so I'm confused, Sean, because the press release said Bill Schmidt stepped down. ESPN says the Rockies moved on from him. So,
what do you think is the truth? I know what. You know what?
Yeah.
Let's just say that both things are true, and that the Rockies wanted to make sure that publicly, out of their mouths, it was said one way.
Yeah.
Where the truth is, I would have to think that it was it was not Bill Schmidt's decision to leave, or if it was his decision, technically, it was done so with a very large stick poking at him over a ledge. So he walked it. It needed to happen, and we will see how committed they are to the freshness. I'm not sure. I'm trying to remember the adjective from the news release. The eyes that they choose. We'll see how fresh those things are. That's what I'll be very curious to see.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, you're hearing the right things today anyway. Hearing, Walker Monfort. I thought again whether that was strategic or not by having him say basically that we're looking for someone outside our organization. Having him drop that quote, I thought that was pretty interesting.
It was, and you know they talked about the fellow from the Rangers who's been here. I don't know. I get the sense in talking to others that they're still looking, if not and obviously this time within the family. I think they're looking for people with family ties, tangentially, because heavy sigh. They're obsessed with this idea that the magic herbs and spices that they claim to have about playing at altitude, that they want to have someone who has had experience, and this is the one thing I know they've consistently talked about it on and off record. They want someone with the experience of baseball in Denver. And so the gentleman from the Rangers that my colleague Patrick Saunders has written about is obviously because he's worked here, is a candidate. I think it's going to be hard to find someone who doesn't have Rockies ties that they would seriously consider, but I wish they wouldn't, but I'll be surprised if it isn't somebody who's at least been here before.
Well, and Thad Levine, I know you guys have him on your list at the Denver Post, is another one. That one seems to grab me a little bit. Again, it does scare me that, okay, he was with the Rockies. He served in their front office from 99 to I think you guys said 2005. Mm-hmm. But I kind of like the fact that he kind of gets Colorado, but then he got out of Colorado to see how a real baseball franchise is ran. So maybe there's a best of, he saw what not to do, he saw what to do, and he's going to bring that back to Colorado.
Yeah, I don't think that there's any home run hire out there unless you could, you know, clone Theo Epstein and convince him to work in these conditions. I mean, it's a fascinating, as a baseball wonk, it's a fascinating job. But as someone who has covered the Monforts now for 6 years more, it's not an easy job. It's like a really hard job, given the parameters in which they work. So, again, I think Tad's a great candidate. Logical rather than great candidate for the reason you mentioned. I mean, anything's going to feel like an upgrade, and I'd be surprised if it wasn't an upgrade for as stale as this has been. But I don't know how, again, when I say fresh eyes, I don't even know if Levine has the freshest of fresh eyes, but it definitely fits the profile. They want high altitude experience, and that is one of their obsessions, and we'll see if it lands up somebody of significance.
Yeah, Sean, I know we got you for like two more minutes here. I wasn't able to make it to Nuggets Media Day. I don't know if you were there. My kiddo had a tonsillectomy last week, so staying close to home on all that stuff, not fun. Yeah, not fun. But what was your main takeaway? I mean, mine was just listening. Was Aaron Gordon. I mean, the guy is just special. He'll change whoever to whoever he needs to be each and every year, depending on what the Nuggets need.
I have written and said it, and I mean it, and I'm biased because I like the guy. I know I haven't been to his loft. We're not super tight. But, like, not only should every team and every franchise have a player like Aaron Gordon, like, everybody should have a friend like Aaron Gordon. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Aaron Gordon is the guy that picks you up at the airport. Aaron Gordon is the guy that helps you move. And as you know, that is the benchmark.
Yeah, that's friendship.
Really loves you is will they show up to help you move? You know who shows up to help you move? Aaron Gordon. You know who probably doesn't? Jamal Murray. And I hope that changes. And that was the point of the column that ran Tuesday print and Monday online.
Yeah, well, Jamal, I mean, he looks the part in September,
looks
October.
Great.
So that's a good sign.
It is. You got to back it up. And the actions so far have matched his words. I don't care if he's an all-star. In a playoff sport, as great as our two winter teams are, and as great, I think the winter sports playoffs in the spring are the greatest playoff sports in North America. And this is baseball guy talking because we're in, I'm in the baseball playoff right now. Mm-hmm. Looking for the spring playoffs, terms of intensity, what have you, what they give. But he's got to stay in it, stay consistent, and stay healthy, Jamal. And if a good November and a all-star level first half helps him do that, great. But it's all about April to June and seeing that over the line. And it's true on the outside of town as well.
Sean, I know you got to roll, my friend. Great catching up with you as always. And we'll look forward. Big game for CSU Friday night. I mean, that could be the end. That could be the end of the Jay Norvell era.
We could do a half hour on that alone as you have with others. I think the short week helped, but he's running a short week.
100%.
And now you've got to put some meat on that bone, and there just isn't there. It's sad. I know. Let's make this clear. No one is cheering. Maybe some CU fans. No one objective, and certainly no one in the media is cheering for what's happening at CSU with Jay Norvell right now. But happening it is, and it'll be interesting to see where that lands.
Yeah, 100%, my friend. Sean, appreciate you, man, and we'll get back after it next week.
All right, sounds good, dude. Thanks.
Sean Keeler, Denver Post. Big City Roadhouse, Michael. Check this out. The Big City. They got the Big City Roadhouse. The Roadhouse Burger. Look at that bad boy.
Roadhouse.
Yeah, look at that, dude. Does that not look freaking... They just posted a picture on their social media. Does that not look freaking ridiculous?
It looks very freaking ridiculous.
Yeah.
I like the fries,
dude,
in the background.
Dude, they got... What are those fries? Like, they're kind of the... They're not quite like the curly fries, but they're crunchy.
I like a good crunchy fry.
I like a good crunchy fry. I'm with you right there. That looks like a damn good burger. I might have to stop by there like today. Big City Roadhouse, a big city brand with a fresh twist on a full service restaurant. The owners of Big City Burrito, there is a burrito on the menu. Michael had it. He loved it. He loved it a lot. Didn't share it with us. But
I warned you guys. I was like, I'm going to have this whole thing. Hey,
I want the burger.
We should both go there today.
Oh, maybe. I want the burger. Big City Roadhouse. Guys, it's where the old Cables location was, and that transition has been great. They have so much respect for what Sean and Nikki did for so many years at Cables. I should say Nikki and Sean, because I think Nikki first off, and then it was Sean. But they were just awesome people, and I got to know, especially Sean, on more of a friendship basis, too. So that transition, I think, went extremely well. But the Big City, the Roadhouse Burger, That's on my mind. That's on my mind next. And I believe they're coming in on Friday, Mike, so don't hound them about bringing food in again. They're going to join Good Morning NoCo on the wine at 9. They're going to come in, bring stuff to pair with the wine. That's going to be a lot of fun. Don and Cleta. So it'll be great. Maybe they'll bring a burger for us.
I wonder if they have a pair to pair with the wine.
I wonder if they do, too. 30 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Roadhouse.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. You are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
A cool thing going on for you at 1310kfk.com. You can win a free Christmas light decoration. Now through the end of October is your chance to win a free house decorating from NoCo Christmas Light Pros. You can nominate yourself. That's okay. If you feel like you need it, you deserve it, make it a good story as to why, then they'll come out and take care of you. Or maybe you know somebody that has been really busy. They've got a lot going on, and you know they love the holidays. They love Christmas, and maybe they just don't have the stuff, they don't have the time, and they just have had a weird year. You can nominate them. All you got to do is go to 1310kfk.com, top of the page, and find the NoCo Christmas Light Pros giveaway. Put in their first name, last name, email address, and then just tell us why you or somebody else should win, just quickly. I mean, it doesn't need to be a well-thought-out essay or anything like that. Just something to let us know, or let the great folks at NoCo Christmas Light Pros know. Go to 1310kfka.com. Michael, how do you feel about the tush push? I realized 10 years ago that would have been a weird question to ask you, but now that it relates to football, it's okay. We have a pass.
There are still people out there who do not like the tush push solely because it says tush push.
I like the fact that it says tush push.
I give them
fun.
A hard time.
I like it.
I have no problem with the tush push. Unless it hurts the Broncos, then I hate it. But other than
it could hurt the Broncos, Michael.
Other than that, it's like any offensive formation. You have to learn to stop it.
Yeah, and this whole idea of trying to cancel it because nobody can stop. The Eagles do it. The Bills do it. I saw the Steelers do it without Aaron Rodgers, though. Did you see that? They lined up a tight end to do it, and Rodgers is just standing behind the tight end. And before they even snapped it, he's just like standing straight up, and he's watching. And then once they get it, he's like just signals the first down. Like, he was being 100% clear. I am not involved in this play at all. I am just here to watch football.
That's called cutlering.
I don't know. I like Aaron Rodgers. I'm entertained by him. He amuses me. I'm in on that guy. He's very odd, but I like watching him. And I like the tush push. I think it's a hell of a play. And I tell you, it's part of this analytical world we're in, too, of going for it on more fourth downs. Ed Lamb was on Football 52. The Bears were on their own 34-yard line, Michael, in the first half of that game, first quarter of that game, and they went for it on 4th-and-1. Didn't get it. But did you know that Ed told me this, the analytics in that situation, 4th-and-1 on your own 34-yard line, it's like 84%. They say 84% chance you get it. Obviously, you got to get the play call right, but analytics would say go for it because you're going to get it if you go for it. Just teams don't risk it as much, or certainly didn't used to years ago. You look perplexed.
I've never heard that. I guess I wouldn't expect that analytics to say, yeah, go for it on 3rd and 4th and 1.
Fourth and one. Well, it's 1 yard.
I know, but like if you, a lot of teams don't get the 3rd and 1.
Yeah, but they try it again. 2 times in a row. I don't know. I'm just saying I like it. I'm with you though. I definitely am not going to be happy when we see a 3rd and 5 and then they get 4 yards and you know what's coming. It's so difficult to stop. But they don't get hurt as much as everybody's saying they get hurt on this thing, man.
As much as the rulemakers from the Packers were saying, because they were upset that the tush push beat them in the playoffs. Look, I absolutely, if it hurts the Broncos, I don't like it. But other than that, I think you gotta learn to stop them. Don't allow them to have a 3rd and 1 or a 4th and 1.
Sean Payton was in favor of it. They were one of the teams in favor of it, knowing that they had to go to Philadelphia to go up against that this year. He said, I was one that stood up in favor of it. The reason I stood up in favor of it is pretty simple. If the powers to be don't want it for aesthetic reasons or competitive reasons, you know, that's hard to officiate etc. But I've been involved in those meetings for a long time. And when all of a sudden health and safety was pulled into that, which might be the safest play in football, my BS nose kind of went up. Yeah, I mean, how is it not like aesthetically pleasing? It's hard nose football. That's the definition of football. I'm going to line my fat dudes up against your fat dudes up, and you're going to try to push me back, and I'm going to try to push you forward. Yeah, it's probably a little more rugby, but it's just dirty, nasty football. Guys grunting under there, man, squashing each other. I mean, you know that pile's a dangerous spot to be in, but they do it. That's football, isn't it?
But, Larry, it's all about player safety.
Texter from Faith here. Rodgers' body's too old for that play. So what happens if there's another play that comes down the pipe that teams can't stop? Are they going to vote that out? Just learn to stop it or deal with it. Yeah. Figure it out. Figure out how to stop it.
I agree. You have to figure out how to stop them or don't let them get into a 3rd and 1 or a 4th and 1. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
It's up to the defenses and adapt. Adapt. I'm sure if the, the Wildcat was you know,
oh, yeah.
such a thing. Like, it was such a thing. I'm sure offenses were pissed off. But then 6 weeks later, they figured it out. If the Wildcat was still successful in the NFL, you know
then,
you'd
and
have...
And what happened to the Wildcat? That kind of went away. They still kind of run it. Teams randomly do it. But you remember Miami was doing it all the time, and it was like that was their offense. They were always lining up with the Wildcat. Everyone was trying to figure out how to do the Wildcat.
And then they just started fading towards the end of the year because they relied on it too mm-hmm. much.
Yeah. And this is one of those plays where you can't really abuse it because you're only doing it on the goal line or 4th and 1, 4th and inches type situations. You're not seeing it all the time.
Them get on the goal line.
Would you rather see that or a punt? Which we're not seeing punt returns at a high rate anymore. So would you rather see that or a punt? I'd rather see that.
The punt.
Really?
If it was against the Broncos.
Right, correct. But I think it's a unique thing that a team stumbled on. They found success in it. They perfected it. I don't know why teams... is it dangerous? Like, you know, Faith says that Aaron Rodgers can't run that. Yeah, probably don't want your quarterback, who's like 97 years old, getting in the depths of that kind of pile or getting underneath that kind of pile. But...
Yeah, so put your quarterback, who doesn't have osteoporosis, in. Like, yeah, that guy is so old. His bones are thin. They're probably made of mushroom anyway.
I like what Peyton had to say, though, about it. He's like, look, it's a quarterback sneak, and I credit Philadelphia. I'm one who looks at it as long as the line of scrimmage is clean, that it's a well-run quarterback sneak. And when you really evaluate it, it's really the technique of the sneak more than the push. You go all the way back to Green Bay and Dallas and the Ice Bowl, 1967, and freaking Bart Starr across the goal line with someone pushing a little bit behind him. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of art to it. It's the quarterback you can't just snap it. You got to figure out which little hole you're going to dive into. Now I think that pushing is interesting. I do think that you should allow the defense to push you back. Like, okay, when you catch you get a receiver out in the open field, you make contact, and then you start driving him back. I don't like how the officials blow that play dead. I think they should allow them to drive them back to an extent. If you're going to allow offensive players to push forward, I think you should allow defensive players to push backwards. What do you think of that? I mean, it could get dangerous.
That's one that requires a little more thinking because there are a lot of...
You can break legs and all that stuff, but...
Yeah, there are some actual safety issues. And also, we've had this idea of forward progress for a long time.
Yes.
So you have to figure out, is it just forward progress on the wide receiver?
Well, why is it
just forward progress on the wide receiver who's become a runner?
But why is it fair you're driving them back and they're not blowing the whistle yet and then they break contact and now they get to take off and run? Like Patrick Surtain on that missed tackle against the Chargers 2 weeks ago, Mike, he thought, whether he was right or wrong, he was probably wrong, obviously he was wrong, he thought the forward progress had been called already and the play was over. I think if you're encouraging them to keep driving back, if you allow them to push forward, you should allow them to push back. That's my only thing on the tush push, is if you're going to let the running backs and a tight end come up behind you, like the Ravens run it with Mark Andrews, if you're going to allow people to get up behind you, and that's the play, we're literally going to just push you forward, then I think eventually the forward progress thing should be reworked somehow. I mean, you can't drive them back forever, but because guys can't just pick up their legs and fall. You don't want them to break their legs either. But I think there should be, I don't know, smarter guys than me could figure that out. But I think that they should allow them to drive them back a little bit.
I think that thought process has some validity to it. And I wouldn't mind them revisiting it. It's just, it's a little more complicated than just a yes or no. You have to remember the wide receiver when he comes down with it. And it's officially called a catch. He's not a runner yet. He's still the receiver. He hasn't, you know, started running. So can you push him back there?
Yeah.
Can you push someone back if they've started running forward?
Yeah, it's more complex, but I just think that's something I would like to see. But I'm sure an NFL executive would tell me I'm crazy, and that's really dangerous. The Broncos have a chance. The Broncos are leading the league in sacks, Mike, 4 weeks in. We've got data now, right? Once you get to that quarter mark, you can actually start to look at the stats and see who's starting to stand out. Denver has been great again at getting to the quarterback. Jalen Hurts has been sacked 9 times, and they haven't been running the ball that well. But they do have the 2.5, three-headed monster with Devonta Smith, A.J. Brown, both guys. I mean, only 2 touchdowns between the two, but Smith has 158 yards, A.J. Brown has 151, and Dallas Goedert, 114 yards with 3 touchdowns. They have a lot of weapons, and Saquon Barkley hasn't really even got going yet, Mike. He has 77 carries for 237 yards and 3 touchdowns. Will that be more of the norm for Philadelphia? I mean, they just gave him a boatload of money in the offseason. He was their, the primary reason, not the reason, but one of the main reasons that this team was able to win the Super Bowl, win it all, was because of his phenomenal season.
Maybe they cursed him. Maybe he's got the contract curse.
It's too soon for that. But I tell you, Derrick Henry, that one's rough right now with Baltimore. I'm not ready to say it's out on Saquon Barkley, 237, not great. Not the worst. I mean, we're Broncos fans. We've seen some pretty bad running backs in the last I don't know, 10 years or so, not great running backs at least. 48 minutes after the hour. Michael, what did we learn on the show today? Coming up next, we'll be right back.
Don't sweat it, NoCo. With cooler temperatures upon us, that only means more red-hot takes. A Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, this has been a one-to-one ball game forever, and the Guardians of the Galaxy just—I didn't see who it was. This TV's tiny. Blasted a home run. It's now 2-1, Cleveland. Bottom of the eighth, one out.
Maybe you should get glasses.
It's tinted. The TV's tinted. I can't see it.
Maybe turn the TV a little bit.
It's facing me. What did you learn today, Michael?
I learned that we both are okay with the tush push.
We like push and tush. We're a fan of it. And we're not going to be a fan of it on Sunday, though, right?
Well, when the Broncos stop it and teach the rest of
they're
the league
teach
how
them a lesson.
Defense is done.
How do you stop it?
Broncos are going to stop it.
Well, what do you do?
I don't know. I'm not a defensive coordinator.
The second people start to stop it is when you start pulling out the fake tush push. And that hasn't really... Have we seen that yet? Sure we have.
Like the fake wildcat?
Yeah, just fake it. Act like you're going to push tush and turn around, play action, whatever.
Fake tush push.
Fake push and tush.
Fake push tush.
Well, they're pushing tush. It's the tush push, but they're pushing tush.
But Bush did it first.
We also learned that Bill Schmidt got his tush pushed out of Colorado. See, you're not the only one. And that's kind of interesting. I don't know what it means. It's a long journey ahead for the Rockies, but they can't keep recycling through guys that have been through their system over and over again. What else, Mike? Is that it?
No, that's about it.
Well, you're just giving me this look, and I can't tell what it means. It's kind of scary. Kind of serial murder.
Derbs texted us, okay. and I'm waiting for another response.
He was just complimenting. He was commenting on the fact you said you liked the tush push. Pretty innocent text from what I saw. Anyway, that'll do it for us. We're back at it on a Thursday. Thursday night special. Michael, I'm 3-1. You're welcome, everybody. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.